I'm going to ask the question, is God particularly partial? Or is he an impartial, partial God? I've just recently returned from Greece. It's a place that I seem to go to quite often, according to my wife and my children and my grandchildren. And it's a place I love very much. A lot of history there. A lot of interesting things to see. A lot of very interesting people to meet. I was there, as I say, just a few weeks ago. And so I know it quite well, particularly Athens. I visit most of the ancient sites, including, naturally, the Acropolis. I nearly said it's falling down, you know, but actually through EU money, it's being built up again. I just wanted you to know, belonging to the EU does have a positive side to it, if it's only for the Greeks. They've got a lovely modern museum there, again supplied by the funds from the EU. And what is left of the marbles? You remember the Elgin marbles? If you've seen them, you would have seen them in the British Museum. What Lord Elgin left behind a century or so back are now in a lovely display on the sort of top steps of this museum, with the gaps, of course, of the bits that we've got. The weather in Athens, just in case you wanted to know, was ranging between 30 and 35 degrees. It was actually too hot for an ancient Scotsman to do much other than read. Well, read in the coolness of the hotel lounge, or watch TV in the comfort of his room. My Greek friend, who was on a particular course, used to leave me for most of the day and return late afternoon, when we would eventually go off to the seaside or something, you know, a bit cooler. But let me get to the point, in case you think this is just a cultural kind of lecture on Greece or its weather, because I want to get on to something that's really important. You wanted to know that, didn't you, Marion? Why should I get out of bed this morning to go and listen to Bert Baker? Well, Marion, I'm going to talk about football. I've never preached on football before, but I'm going to talk about football. And I know you laugh, but I think deep down you actually groaned. There's been a lot of it on television just because of the World Cup. And so in hotel, when I was alone, time and time again I watched football. And there was an interesting aspect to it that I observed time and time again when I saw players exhibiting what I understood to be a certain religious bent, genuflecting, this. The one particular footballer I've picked out, and so I understand, according to him himself and his teammates, one of the greatest in the world, Ronaldo. I was just checking, you know, if you remembered. Captain of the Portuguese, wasn't he? I was reading in the paper, day or so later, about this Ronaldo. And seemingly in an interview, he was asked what his religious views were. And this particular person writing here in the Times, of course, looked somewhere between sheepish and baffled when a journalist from one of the Salvador's local television networks asked him how important was faith to him. Well, needless to say, religion is a sensitive subject. And so Ronaldo was very hesitant in how he answered that question. But this, eventually, is what he said. I feel there is someone who guides us. I believe our destiny is already set. And that is why I am sure things will be okay for Portugal. Very good for my team in the World Cup. That's where he's coming from. This raised for me a real question about the impartiality of God. I mean, God, can he be persuaded to favor, for example, one person, one group, one country? Only on the radio again this morning, we heard, did we not, the fact that as we're coming up to 100 years since the beginning of the First World War, reflections on what was happening during those last weeks up until the 4th of August are being scrutinized. And on the religious program this morning, it was saying, in fact, that the pastors in the churches in Germany more or less saying the same as our pastors and ministers and priests were saying here. This is a just cause. Therefore, God is on our side. And there was a recording of Kaiser Wilhelm's statement of that. I won't use my German, because you won't understand it. But saying that God is on our side. Now, I'm not going to suggest that the World Cup is in any way similar to a world war, certainly not that one. But there is a kind of warring faction that comes into it, an aspect, where people do engage God in these sorts of things, where they do, in fact, call upon God to assist them. And I began to think, well, what does the Bible say? And when I investigated this, I could go on all morning. It's all right, I'm not going to. But God does have a view. And the Bible has a view. And we're going to hear about that view read for us by Rosemary. Okay, thank you, dear. It's from the Beatitudes, isn't it? Thank you.
The reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 43 to the end. You've heard that it was said, love your friends, hate your enemies. But now I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may become the children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to shine on bad and good people alike, and gives rain to those who do good and to those who do evil. Why should God reward you if you love only the people who love you? Even the tax collectors do that. And if you speak only to your friends, have you done anything out of the ordinary? Even the pagans do that. You must be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
I started by saying that what, as it were, made me question what we're talking about, the religion or the faith of people on a football field or in the field of battle, when they do in fact do this. Now, he comes from the Greek Orthodox Church, and they believe that, of course, what is being said here is that God is holy. That God is holy and powerful. That God is holy and eternal. And therefore bless us. And I thought that that was a very sobering, but also enlightening understanding of a particular act that seems to more and more be coming into the ordinary fields of life. To understand genuflecting with these elements of devotion certainly seems to be within the spirit of what the Bible does say in other places besides the place that Rosemary read from. I suppose where football has become a new religion, where many young people congregate not in a building, but now, here and now, on a field of play, or where supporters flock to stadia and pay enormous prices to worship their idols, then the simple act of an individual genuflecting at least allows God, ho theos, for a moment, into that sacred so-called place on a sports field. So by doing that, it's not to persuade the divine to support them in their sport, but to honor him in their hearts as they seek to do their best in the particular sport in which they're involved. Just a final paragraph. In case you are thinking what Ronaldo said, that he believed God was on Portugal's side, may I remind you of the fact that God has no favorites in any area of life. And the evidence here, if you need evidence, is that Portugal lost.